Hi, this is Ken Kennedy. This is Kenzoid's Autonomous Zone, episode 68, recorded on Wednesday, December 18th, 2013. We're actually on the road, finally. It's been, you know, it's December, it's around the holidays, and I haven't been either, you know, during Thanksgiving. I was obviously didn't travel to Atlanta for a day. I think I've done one podcast since then. During December, I've got the main thing is that I've got so much vacation time built up that I'm not haven't been able to use, and I always leave a little bit on the floor at the end of the year, which kind of sucks, but whatever. I do my best. I've been trying to do better to use as much of it as I can. But anyway, one of the things that I've been doing is just semi-taking vacation, and so that I can stay in North Carolina and not drive in, you know, Wednesday, Thursday. Sometimes, depending on the week. Last week, I actually took it off. Even when I do that, sometimes I have migrations or something that I do during the vacation time, you know, in the middle of the night or whatever. But today, I'm driving in. If nothing else, I've got to get some Christmas presents that came in earlier that I was like, oh, surely I'll be able to get back and pick these up. And I haven't yet. And this is the last week, as I won't be driving in next week on Christmas. So I need to get into Atlanta and pick up a couple of presents that are there and get home tomorrow. So this is, and I'm hoping this sounds good. Obviously, you won't hear it if it doesn't sound good. On the road, using the Zoom. I'm wondering if you're going to be able to hear things like the turn signal that I just used. And I'm driving by some big trucks, you know, because I'm on 85 pretty much the whole way. So there could occasionally be big trucks or something. But hopefully the low-pass filter will take care of part of that. And I'm also probably, I listened with interest to Dave's expanded description of his workflow. He mentioned me because I had sent him some emails about it when I got my Zoom. And he was very helpful and gave me some information about how he does things. And then further expanded on that during his podcast maybe 3 weeks ago, something like that. And I had heard that he was using Audacity. And I think I'm going to do the same thing to go through and, A, I'm going to check it and hear what's going on. Check the beginnings, because I've noticed with all of them so far, there's been like a clack rattle at the beginning when I'm using this. That's because I've got the Zoom sitting there and I have to touch it to push the recording button, and it's not on a stand or anything. So I'm basically, you know, touching it and it vibrating it a little, and that's all coming through. So, and I don't know, you know, I'm holding it in my hand right now on the steering wheel, basically. So it may not have been there this time. I'm not sure. If it is, but I can take it out in Audacity and then save it as FLAC, which would be a much smaller file to shoot up to Alphonic and get worked on. And eventually, at some point here, I'm not there yet, but at some point, hopefully, I'm going to find some intro and or outro music. Right now, my idea is to use Mr. Paul Fidalgo's excellent music, find something that I like in there, and I've already got permission. A lot of his music is Creative Commons licensed already, and I also have permission from Paul to do it, so he's a buddy as well. So decided today, I was like, hey, I'm gonna be driving, been listening to podcasts, you know, early on, but now we're deep into it, we're getting close to, oh crap, you know what we're getting close to where I'm getting off get gas. Damn it. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, since I'm doing it in Audacity anyway. I'm going to get off, get my gas. There's not really a pause on here, it just stops. But so I'll just have two. But I can clop them together in Audacity, no problem. So I am not going to give up on this. This is set up, but I didn't think this through. I should have started this after I stopped to get gas. I could just bail on the gas. Just roll. Let's do it. All right. Executive decision. We're bailing on... I usually stop in South Carolina. Gas a little cheaper here. So I'll pay a few cents more if necessary. But I've got over a quarter of a tank. I can easily get to Atlanta as I just kind of recently got gas in Monroe. So I can easily get to Atlanta. I might even be able to get back up here. And if not, I can almost certainly get to the QT. I'm a QT fan. I can get to the... There's a QT that's just outside of Atlanta. It's outside of Atlanta's... Like, then has an additional tax because of the smog levels or whatever I think it is. Like, in the metropolitan area, it's more expensive than in Georgia outside the metropolitan area, which is... still more expensive than South Carolina, because South Carolina just has a really low gas tax. So, but yeah, just me. So I'm at mile marker 21, heading towards Georgia, and just made the executive decision to blow by this QT, and we're just going to keep rolling so we can keep this rolling. Not that I can't do the, slap the two files together, but just wasn't going to bother. So, yeah, I decided today, I was like, we're deep into the trip. Plenty of time to talk. I'm not going to be hitting Atlanta traffic anytime soon or anything. And I'm out of the morning traffic in around Charlotte. And so this is a good time to go. So it's been busy, it's been a little while. It's not going to, dwell on that. But I think actually just trying this right now, assuming this sounds good, that this is going to be a pretty good way for me to do this, and this will keep me on a much more regular basis. I just forget. I get busy doing various things, even when I'm working from Wingate. I just forget to do them, and then I'll remember, and it'll be like 20 minutes before people are starting to get home, and I'm still self-conscious about the podcast. Not self-conscious about talking in podcast style in front of other people, so I prefer to do it on my own. So, I'll just forget, and there won't be any time for me to do it, whereas driving along, I've got 4 hours, so somewhere in there I'll remember, and it'll be done. So, I think it's going to do well, and I'll be more frequently into a most weeks traveling come the new year, because I won't have as much vacation time resets. So more often than not, I'll be heading into Atlanta. And the other thing I've got is I've got 4 hours each way, because I could also do it on the way back. So I think most weeks we'll have this 8-hour block that somewhere in there we'll be able to do a podcast pretty easily. So, liking that. So, it's been the holidays. It's not my favorite time of year. I'm not a huge holiday person. It's okay. Get through it. Not a big deal. I've got a couple things left to get. Most of the big shopping's done. So, there's that. It's not even really enough for me to talk about with really the whole podcast or the whole holiday thing. One of the things I am going to talk was going to talk about and will talk about, it's kind of related to holidays in that Steam, Valve more properly, the Valve, the gaming company, has around the holidays, I think it starts at Thanksgiving, is one of their, I think it's their autumn sale, and then they're going to have another sale, I think, usually during the Christmas holidays, their winter sale. And Steam, Valve, they're tricky. They take these games, I don't know if Valve is a corporation that both makes games, and then they make a distribution platform for games. It was originally, they started with just their own games, and then they realized that we can just, it's basically an app store for games. There's a zillion games in it. And now that I'm thinking about it, it may have been, I'm not 100% sure. So it may have been, I may have bought this game that I've been playing a lot. I may have bought it during the autumn sale, or I may have bought it in the Humble Bundle. Humble Humble Bundles, again, if you don't know, that's an indie, started out as an indie gaming thing where they would bundle a bunch of games together and let you pay whatever you want for it. Usually the way it works is there's several games in the bundle, like the basic bundle. You can literally pay whatever you want. I think you can pay a penny. I don't know, whatever the minimum that you can get through the credit. Like, they use PayPal and Google Wallet and Amazon. Whatever the minimum that you can get through those guys is what it is. And it must be, the minimum must be less than a dollar, because typically, a lot of times, if these games are in Valve or on Steam, you have, as long as you pay $1, you get the Steam key, so you can download it from Steam directly instead of downloading the game. I like to do that with Humble Bundle games, just because Steam manages like the updating the game and stuff like that, so all that stuff is handled more so you don't have to kick the game off and check and see if it has updates, and then you wait while you're wanting to play, you know, that sort of thing. The Steam client handles the updates and everything. So literally, you could pay whatever the minimum. If you pay a buck and the game has Steam keys, you usually get them. And if you pay over the average, which, actually, I got on one yesterday really early. The average was like $3.60. I paid a little bit. I paid $5. But if you pay over the average, you usually have a couple of games and sometimes the soundtracks and stuff like that are locked for people who go above the average. And the average will slowly rise. I mean, it's not going to affect me because I got in early enough. But, you know, usually Humble Bundles are 2 weeks long. And by the middle of the bundle, the average is going to be more like $6 or $7. Could go higher if it was really popular stuff. But still, it's ridiculously cheap for, you know, I can't. So anyway, I've been playing this game. And the more I think about it, I think I did get it in a Humble Bundle. I think I may have gotten it in the same Humble Bundle that I got, for example, Ticket to Ride. You know, a game that's that was a dual Android, and then Humble Bundles. If you like games and you don't buy them, go buy them. They're always running. They actually have Humble Bundles now, and then they have the Humble Store, which is kind of like the Valve's Steam, usually more indie game stuff. And then they usually have, I forget what they call it, a Humble Package or something like that now, where they're reselling like older games from like established companies. So EA will have a EA bundle, or Humble EA bundle, I can't forget how they say it. And so they'll go, you know, back in the archives 3 or 4 years usually, and pull out some classic games. And again, it's like whatever you want. But if you play games, like I said a few weeks ago, and then usually if the games are available cross-platform, you can get them all. So you can get they had, and there have been more and more of these cross-platform ones lately. So they had a Humble Bundle. I think it had 9 games in it at the end. I paid $6 or $7 each. I got it for myself and got it for Charlotte, my wife. And this included, among other things, Ticket to Ride, the electronic version of Ticket to Ride for both Windows, and it had Steam keys. So got Ticket to Ride on Steam and Ticket to Ride on Android. We each have like 7-inch Android tablets. And let's say I spent $7. That lone game is $6.99 in the Google Play Store. So I, in addition, got, you know, 9 other games. And I think one of the games that I might have gotten in that package in addition, it's called Hotline Miami. It's just a complete and total Twitch, like, shooter thing. It's like top-down, old school. There's a lot of retro old school graphics lately. It's kind of 8 or 16-bit graphics looking, so it looks very like 90s or maybe even late 80s-ish game wise. You're this killer, or you're crazy, or you're some sort of hitman, or you're being mind controlled, and the story's being dribbed and drabbed out to you as you finish each individual episode. But you basically get this phone call, and then you put on a mask. And you go and you, like, kill everybody in this building full of mobster-type people that are shooting back at you and stuff like that. And it's, I don't know. I don't know if other people find it, but, boy, you know, I got 46-year-old reflexes. And the Twitch level, it's insane. I have done some of these levels. I had to do them 150 times, probably, to get through not being killed. the masks are interesting. You know, you start out with a chicken mask, and all the masks have names. I forget. I think Richard is the chicken mask. And as you finish each level, you get new masks. And after that first one, I didn't even find this out for about four levels. I didn't realize that you could switch masks. You choose which mask you put on before you go in. And masks give you powers. One of the masks gives you Fists of Fury. So normally what happens if you're wearing any other mask and you hit somebody, if you don't have a weapon in your hand and you hit somebody, you knock them down on the floor for maybe two to three seconds, and you have an opportunity to go over and do a finishing move on them and kill them. With Fists of Fury, you just kill them as soon as you hit them. So it saves time there. And other ones, there are doors. You know, when you're running around in the building, if you kick open a door and it hits somebody, it does the same thing. It knocks them down and you can finish them. One of the other masks, the horse mask, makes doors lethal. So when you hit somebody with a door, it kills them. And there are certain places where that's a good idea. So you have this whole different group of masks that you accumulate over time. And for certain levels, you know, a given mask may really be exactly what you need to give you that extra oomph to get over the hurdle. Well, I mean, games do this occasionally, you know. I've played this game in the past 2 weeks. I just looked it up on Steam, because that's another thing with Steam. It gives you stats and stuff like that. Sometimes very detailed stats, but at the very least, it can give you time on any game that you play through Steam. 27.2 hours in the past 2 weeks. Wow. I think it's 29 total. So I played it when I first got it. I played it for an hour or so. But the past 2 weeks has been like I said, I took vacation time. Most of that was it could have been either last Wednesday and Thursday. I think it was last Thursday and this past Monday. Or maybe, yeah, I think it was Monday I finally got. I was like, okay, I'm taking a break. I didn't play it yesterday. So what's that, 14 hours a week? That's crazy. Crazy. But it's fun, twitchy, nothing complicated, but fun. And I now that I'm thinking about it, I'm pretty sure I didn't get it in a Humble Bundle. Although I bought some games. Steam does these crazy sales where they'll put games 50, 75, 90% off occasionally. And they just suck you in. So, like me some Steam. That's what I've been playing a bunch of Hotline Miami lately. So, if you like a little twitchy, you have to shoot exactly the right spot, exactly the right time, then spin around, shoot this other guy, then switch guns, because that gun's out, you know, bump, bump, yeah, it's like, yeah, that sort of thing. So it's fun. So that's kept me rambling for a little while, because there's since people who follow me on either Google Plus or my blog, which I'm sure is everybody, all three of the people listening to this do so. Know that had a death in the family, pet death, but still a family member, about a week ago, I guess, a little over a week ago now. It was a week ago, exactly, because that's why I took we are an hour away from being exactly a week ago, hour and 10 minutes. So Toby, our black lab, passed away. It was pretty quick. He was went from fine to been a picky eater for a little while. This was maybe past month or the previous month. You know, like in this November, he started getting picky with his food. And you know, a lot of times, I'm in the house working, you know, I would be able to tell, and trying to find what he would want, and he got to the point where he was eating almost nothing. And we don't know if these things were related necessarily or not. Finally, the week before he passed, so 2 weeks ago, a few days before that, we noticed that he was having a little bit of trouble sitting down. You know, he's a back lab and he's old, and their hips, you know, get arthritic and stuff. And so, you know, this combination, we didn't know if they were related symptoms or whatever, but we're like, well, we'll take him to the vet. So 2 weeks ago, in a day, Tuesday, took him to the vet and didn't really find anything wrong. The vet checked him out, noted But I mean, literally did a pretty good check and ended up giving us some antibiotics to give him, see, maybe, you know, maybe he had something going on in his gut that was making him uncomfortable and he didn't really want to eat, and got more and more difficult. And I don't want to get, you know, all into it, but something happened. We're thinking probably maybe a tumor or mass or some sort in the brain area, because a lot of things started going wrong after that. So within a week, you know, one Tuesday he's at the vet and really can't find anything wrong other than that he's a little picky with his food. And the next Wednesday, 8 days later, we had to put him down. Now he was confused, but not in pain. He wasn't, you know, in constant pain. It's a very hard thing, you know, to make that decision. But you're, you know, I always say, like, you're the human, and, you know, it's not like, you know, it's hard enough with people, but at least you can talk to them and you can understand how they're feeling, and, you know, you can see if they're lucid, stuff like that. With animals, you know, that you can't have that level of communication. And you're the person, and they, you can't explain to them what's going on. You know, you're the person, and you're the companion that has to make that hard decision. That, and ideally, I think it's best, you know, I think earlier than some other people do. It's not when you can't stand it anymore. It's before they are, you know, uncomfortable. You know, if you and the vet have talked about things and you realize what's going on and you realize that this is not a fixable solution, as long as your animals are comfortable and not confused, you know, and they feel safe and you know, good in their home, even if, you know, if they're blind or lame, you know, or mainly sitting in one spot, if they're okay, I'm okay with it. But you need to monitor the, you know, and this is mine, you know, this is my thought on the matter, but before they become uncomfortable. So sometimes it's earlier than you'd want. I think that's the best time, because that way they can be with you and, you know, hopefully be, you know, at least not, you know, in such pain that they can't stand things and that they're scared. They can be with their person and just go to sleep and just not wake up again. But you know, it's going to happen sometime. So in my opinion, it's best to happen, you know, when it's not a crisis and not an immediate, you know, make the stop now for poor thing. So that was last week, and it was tough. You know, Toby. You know, Tibby was Charlotte's dog, so, you know, I got accepted into his family. But if you couldn't ask for an extra dog. I haven't had a dog for a long time, and he's a wonderful dog. I love him very much, and I'll miss him. And we're talking, you know, it's hard to decide what to do, you know, so maybe we'll have some information about that in a later podcast. We'll have to see, but right now we're just kind of still working through the loss. It was tough, though. Love you very much, Toby. We miss you. So, I should have reordered that. because I should have done that and then had the random chatter. The random chatter about gaming to drag me out of that. What else? I think I had the only other thing I had on my list of notes, which I looked at them pretty closely before I left, was just this interesting little thing I've been running recently, and gotten back into. I don't listen to as many of the podcasts. You know, podcast tastes evolve, and that's part of the reason that I've always loved, when I could, to get my podcasting history out of wherever, out somehow, or keep it somehow. With Google Reader, I had a pretty decent period where, well, for a while I was using Python script, and then right before, I may have mentioned this in podcast before, but literally maybe 2 months, 3 months before the Google Reader retirement was announced, I was using Google scripting engine. It's a script.google.com. It's pretty cool. It was originally basically the macro stuff from Google Spreadsheets, but it evolved way beyond that. It's pure JavaScript stuff now there, the script thing. But it's like a scripting engine embedded in the web, you know. So it's the IDE is part, it's just your browser, and you're running these scripts on Google servers on the web. But you can, you know, you can build things up and then schedule it. You can have forms, and you can do all sorts of crazy stuff with it. It's pretty cool. And I actually set one up to look at my, so I translated my Python script into JavaScript. And so once a night, it would look at the past 24 hours of my Google Reader feed in my listen subscriptions folder and find what I had read. Oh, well, in the read folder, and look for things that were in my listen subscriptions folder. So what that meant is that a podcast had been finished. And I had this nice little spreadsheet that just got filled in every night with the stuff I had listened to in the previous 24 hours. I love that kind of stuff. Love it. Love it. And, of course, that's broken. My podcasts are in Feedly now. And Feedly does have an API, but they decided not to completely... I haven't even really looked. I don't think they completely duplicate the Google API. Somebody was, but I don't think it was them. API was private for quite a while, and I requested a key, and I finally got a key, but it was a time-limited key, and it was right around the holidays and stuff, and they're like, and in fact, I think it expired, like, December 4th, and you were going to have to do some sort of contest. Hopefully, they're going to, and then they would decide whether or not you would get a permanent key. I'm like, eh. So hopefully, that was just, maybe then they're like, I can't even remember. I remember reading the email and I was like, I'm not sure I can deal with this right now. Hopefully that's because their API is in like beta or something. Eventually I'm assuming they'll open it up. And, I mean, you'll have to request a key or whatever. I don't mind that stuff. So I can get back into that and start getting those podcasts again. Oh, but so your taste evolved, but like I had stopped listening to the talk show with John Gruber? I think so. I don't think that's right. Anyway, doesn't matter. If you know who I'm talking about, you know who I'm talking about. He was on the 5x5 network, and at the time I was listening to a lot of 5x5 podcasts because I got a little annoyed. He left. Basically, my understanding is his cut of, it was something to do with money, with Dan Benjamin, the guy who runs 5x5 and money. I think when 5x5 built an iPod app for streaming 5x5, and I'm pretty sure it was a paid app, the co-hosts with Dan weren't getting any of that. All that money was going, and this is just a guess, I don't know this officially, 5x5 was getting, or Dan Benjamin was getting all that money that wasn't being split out with the hosts. And so Gruber ended up leaving 5x5 and restarting his show. And I had only been listening to him a little while anyway. I mean, he's a Mac pundit, you know, and I'm not a Mac person. But I liked the show, kind of. I mean, because he, you know, it's kind of a general tech talk about the week sort of show, because it's a weekly thing. But I was like, screw you, Gruber. And so I didn't listen for a while. And then I finally got a couple of his guests that he brought on, because he became like basically the only host, and he would have like a kind of guest host. Like John Siracusa was on there at one point. And at this point, he had left 5x5. So I'm really down to only one 5x5 show now. And I like it. I'm not even going to say which show, but I haven't liked his episodes as much recently as I did earlier. So I kind of got, it's in my, I always, I have two lists in my podcast app. I have one, my so-sos, where I update the feed, I get the feed so I know if there are new episodes in the feed, but I don't automatically download them. So that's basically my, when I got nothing, if I'm in the mood for this random podcast, or I've got no more podcasts here, my queue's running low, I'll go over there and pick some and then tell it to download. And then my good feed, things that I'm liking right now, they get downloaded automatically. And so it's on the verge of switching from good to so-so, but we'll see. But I should probably give them a couple chances. But anyway, so I'm not listening to a mini 5x5 thing. You know, the 5x5 irritation kind of floated away. Gerber's had a couple good guests on. It's a fairly long podcast, which I like long podcasts. You know, I run, and that's usually at least a half an hour. You know, so podcasts that are like 10 or 15 minutes, you're going through multiple ones, that's just a little annoying to me. I don't have any problem with not finishing a podcast and picking it up later. So anyway, for whatever reason, Gruber's back on my good list. And one of the things that he was talking to somebody about recently was transcripts for podcasts. And for whatever reason, I guess it's for that same reason that I think it's interesting, you know, what I listen to and such. It would be interesting to have transcripts of my podcast. I could do it. It would take, you know, a while. But so that's one thing I'm not particularly serious about this. And this one is, you know, going to hit 30 plus minutes. Yep, 31. Not necessarily a good one to start with, but you never know if I've got some time. So that's another thing. I'm considering transcripting my own podcast. Bizarre, but it's just one of those things, kind of like knowing your listening history. There's some of these things just tickle little itches. You know, just hit that little spot that I'm like, ooh, I like that. So I'll have to see. And again, like I said, this one probably not a great example, but on the other hand, you could say it's a good example because it's fairly long. If I can do this one, I can do any of them, you know. So I figure it's going to take at least twice as long as the podcast, so it's going to be probably three times as long. So it's probably at least a 90-minute project. So it'll be interesting. That's potentially on the horizon. To see podcast transcriptions coming up, you know, they may or may not be something I may put the podcast up and then work on the transcription, you know, afterwards, or be working on the transcription but not have it finished. I don't think even if I decide to do transcriptions that I would hold the podcast until the transcription was available. I'd put the podcast up straight away. So, alrighty, well, I think that's it. I am sincerely hoping this sounds okay. I'm not going to listen in the car. I don't think that'd be... emergency set of earplugs in my bag that I can use to check this out. I'll do it once I get to the office. And if not, I'll have tonight. So if it is bad, I'll have tonight and the trip back. Maybe I learn. You know, and I'm going to switch a little bit here. Well, I won't be able to hear that. It may be, for example, I just took my hand off the steering wheel. I'm not expecting that vibration was causing an issue, but I'll hold it out here for the rest of the podcast, and that'll give me long enough to, if that was an issue, I'll know what to do on the way home tomorrow. So that'll be it for today. Hopefully you get to hear this, because it was a long one. It was a good one. I'm Ken Kennedy, and this is Kenzoid's Autonomous Zone. My email address is kkennedy@kenzoid.com. And kenzoid.com is the website where you can leave comments on the podcast. You can also feel free to email as well. My Twitter handle is Kenzoid. My Google Plus profile link will be in the show notes. I think it's plus Ken Kennedy - Kenzoid, I believe. I do have not verified account, but a non-GUID profile name now, but I think that's right. But it'll be in the show notes. and is created. This podcast is Creative Commons licensed attribution share alike version 3.0. I know there's a 4.0. I have not switched to that license yet. I assume there's no reason for me not to. I use a WordPress plugin to make all the content on my blog. Creative Commons are that same one, so once that plugin updates, I'll probably update everything. And then I'll forget and say 3.0 for 3 months. Just like, you know, here we are getting ready to do 2014, and I'm terrible at the date things. So I'll be spending the month of January writing the wrong date on stuff. So there we go. Think that's it. Hopefully this will be out soon. This should be out soon, and we'll talk to you next week. See ya.